Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 48 of The Pulse. And we want to jump right in here with Pastor Troy, or maybe better said, kind of looks like D.B. Cooper with the sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go, man.
He had the sunglasses on. He had his sunglasses on right before we had to start the countdown.
They're just up above.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you cats. How is everybody today?
Doing great.
Really good.
Today is my last day out of town, and I am down here and staying at a friend of mine's place in Cabo. They actually let me use his place, which is incredible. And today is our last day here. So we were in Auburn, California last week, and then we were in Western Nevada the week before that. And now this morning we got up, and man, we walked a long ways, and then we came back. I came back just in time to do this. So I'm very happy to meet you. I gotta give you guys a praise report. I finished chapter 12 last night of my
book.
Yep. So I've only got three more chapters to go, and I've already got them mapped out. And then I literally stayed up until like 3:40. It was like 3:40 in the morning last time I looked at the clock, just writing and going over and doing research. And man, this has been a great time for writing that book. So I'm excited about it, and it's good.
And we're excited to see it too. We want to welcome everybody that is watching. Please be a media missionary. Share this feed, whether you're watching on Facebook, Rumble, or YouTube. And also welcome to everybody on ODX as well. We want to say a special welcome to everybody in the room here today too. So, hey, Rebecca, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm excited for today's show. Every single podcast, every single time we come here, we get to just share what Jesus is doing. And
yeah,
it's an honor.
Yeah, we got some great stuff today for sure. We also have Pastor Brian Schwartz in the house too with
What's going on, man? How are you?
The great best hair in the business right there.
Brian Schwartz. Hey, man, before we introduce the next guy, I got to tell you this, Brian, you're going to dig this, man. So you know that my grandson Rooster, you know, he's a huge NFL freak.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's also an NBA freak too. I mean, he gets cards, he studies them, he plays the games. Yeah, you're welcome. And anyway, he does all those things, man. And he actually has a Brian Schwartz card.
Oh, come on. He's one of few.
Yeah. He's been searching and searching and searching. And he found it here a few weeks ago. So while you're in town, man, you got
to
sign it.
Oh, there's no doubt. I would love to. That's awesome. That's fun.
He's like, I got it. He totally freaked out. So
that's amazing.
It was really funny. And then when he was with me somewhere on one of the last trips, I don't remember where. Oh, I know. We were in Branson, Missouri. And I was up there doing Skywatch and Jim Baker Show. And I took him up there with me. And we went and bought a whole bunch of cards because that's his thing, is he collects cards, right? So we went and got a big stack of them. We sat down all day long, you know, we started going through them. He found one, man, and a guy offered him a ton of money. He said, this is worth a lot of money. It's worth a whole lot of money. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. So he gets on his chat thing, man, gets on there, and then boom, this guy, he's really good at that. I don't know anything about it.
It's an art, man. I mean, there's some cards out there that you find the right ones, they're worth some cheddar, man.
Yeah,
big yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, he has the Brian Schwartz NFL card.
Come on, man. I'll sign that.
But he's got it, bro.
I'm all over it. I'll sign that before I leave.
Excellent. That's awesome. Who else is on here today?
We also have Pastor Jerry, fresh from Redemption Ranch, still has dirt on his boots from the ranch, brought it all the way.
Hot off the tarmac. I was burning some G's this morning early driving in.
Yeah.
Really? Did you actually drive in this morning?
I left the ranch at 4:15 this morning.
Wow, man. That sounds like you, bro. Did you go through Wichita Falls or did you come through the other way?
I came through Graham down through Grayford Mineral Wells.
Man, you're nuts, man. There's too many deer out there, man.
They were out this morning. I did. It's the first time in a long time I did have to slam the brakes on. I had a 30-foot trailer behind me, too. It was interesting.
I know. You didn't think that through, man. Come on, buddy. It's a miracle you didn't get killed.
Well, you're trying to get your first deer of the year.
I saved the Dodge. It's safe.
Okay. Excellent. Well, guys, I want to welcome everybody here today and say it's so good to have y'all here. I want there to be a move of God on today's broadcast. I want to see the Lord move. I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Guys, we're going to be talking about the heart of the Father, and we're getting off into the message that is going to be happening tonight with Pastor Schwartz, and then the message is going to be happening on Sunday with Pastor Jerry Sellers. I am going to be preaching on redeeming your timeline on Friday and on Saturday, and I'm also going to be a part of the panel out at Joseph Z's conference that's going to be in Dallas. Yes. And then, yeah, and there it is, voice of God right there. And then, guys, on top of that, tomorrow, as soon as I get into DFW, I'm meeting Robert Henderson. I'm on the board of Robert Henderson's ministry, and we're having a big board meeting at DFW Airport. So as soon as I land, I'm going straight over to another terminal, and they bring into a room there. And we're talking about the courts of heaven, and we're talking about the work that God is doing. And so I'm that thing starts early in the morning. I'm not going to be there until late afternoon. But these are shining times, and we're able to get a lot done, aren't we?
That's amazing. Rebecca's got some other announcements for us too. Rebecca, what do you got?
Yeah, we just want to give a shout out to everybody that's watching us all over the world. I want to give a few shout outs to our ODX family. We got Susan Kerr, Terry L, Charles Jones, Monica Bradley, Laura, Kelly Garcia, Julie, and also Diana. Thank you so much for partnering with us. Also, we have from all over the world, we have Trina from New Mexico. We have Sarah Spencer. We got Pamela Owens, we got Switzerland in the house. We got New Mexico. Yeah, so we have, I know they're coming in a little bit, the chat came in a little bit late, but just we just want to remind everybody to comment, share. Every time you do that, we are being the hands and feet of Jesus. And don't forget to type in where you're from, and we could give you a shout out. This is how we could be Jesus all over the world. And honestly, for today, we have Father's Day this Sunday. Let me back up a little bit. We said Brian Schwartz is preaching tonight. So if you are in the Burleson area, do not forget to tune into ODX.tv. Join us at 7 p.m. And also we have baptisms tonight. So we're very excited to see, like Pastor Troy said, we are ready for a move of God. And something happens when someone gives their life to Jesus. Heaven rejoices, as I love what you always say. The angels rejoice. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a big shebang tonight.
It might be the first water baptisms with umbrellas.
Looked
at the rain forecast.
How do you feel about that?
One of our pastors said, "Why don't we stay on the steps and just do a verbal blessing and let them run to the parking lot as the heavens open up?"
It's like atmospheric Methodist. Yeah. You know, it's like atmospheric Methodist. You just stand out there and let the water sprinkle down.
Oh my gosh!
And then I got a great baptism thing to tell you guys, man, and y'all love this. And then I'll turn all this over to y'all, but. When I was in Auburn, California, one of the cool things that happens everywhere I go is I get to meet all of our ODX family, and they'll be like, "Hey man, I've been part of ODX stage 3 for 2 years. I love you, man. I had to come out here." People drove in from out of state, the whole nine yards. And then they want to talk rescue. They're like, "I've got to share this story with you, Troy. When you guys rescued this girl, when y'all rescued that boy, this. And then immediately I had this breakthrough in my life." And it's like that. It's just a cool thing. And so this guy, I'm up there on the stage. I've got some world famous skateboarder. He's sitting right next to me. He's a world famous guy, but I don't know nothing about skateboarding. But he's there. On the other side of me is Ben and Sam. And then there is a famous cowboy that is there. He's from Stephenville. And then there's another guy down there. And we're all up there, and we're on this panel. I'm sitting out there and I'm looking into the audience, and the audience, we're not inside a church building. We were in this stadium. It's called the Gold Coast Fairgrounds. And so it's where they do racing and whatnot. And we were actually filming some scenes out there. One of the funny things about that is while they were filming the audience, they didn't actually have race cars going out there. They had a guy on the bike. He was just going around on a bike. And we all sort of go, "Whoa!" every time they go by because the cameras were on us, right? And it was really funny. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking out there and I'm like, "I know this guy. This guy's trying to weigh me down." Like, "Hey," and I have no idea. It's some old dude. I mean, I don't know who he is. And I'm like, "Okay." When I get off, the guy comes over and he goes, "Dude, you look the same, man. You look even better than you did 30 years ago. Man, what's going on?" And I'm like, "How do I know you from 30 years ago?" Guy's name is Randy Heckley. Let me tell you about Randy Heckley. When I got saved in 86, I never got baptized. And going into about 1995, 1996, I was down in Costa Rica, Central America. I was doing a whole bunch of mission trips and preaching in prisons. And we'd already started rescuing people. And there was a guy down there, an American missionary named Randy Heckley. And he was down there. And we were all got to talking about it. And he said, he said, well, so tell me about your baptism services. And I was brand new in the ministry as far as church goes. And I said, well, I'm waiting to go to Israel. I want to be baptized in Israel, and I'm waiting to go to Israel. And he goes, bro, you don't need to wait to be baptized. You need to get baptized right now. If you want to get baptized again in Israel, then you can do that. And so this dude baptized me in this river in Costa Rica. And the river is called Termales de Bosque. And it's this, there's all this thermals, these hot thermals from the volcano. And so you could find like a cold spot and a warm spot, a really hot spot. And we found like the perfect spot. And that brother baptized me. And I hadn't seen that guy.
Wow.
Since the mid-90s. And the guy that baptized me was in Auburn, California. How crazy wow. is that?
That's amazing.
It's a small world.
That is so crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Sounds like a trooper occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, no, it steps.
It was cool, man. It was really cool. And I don't know. I don't know why I'm sharing that, except for we're having baptisms tonight. So.
Well, it's really cool. And we got some other really cool things going on here, like your song on Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple Music, and YouTube.
Yay.
What do you say? Like, it's sweeping the nation like a brand new broom? Is that a Troyism?
That's
a Troyism.
Yeah. Look at the nation. It's like a brand new broom. Yeah. Right on.
Look at that.
Well, so I appreciate everybody that's clicking the official video and getting that out there, and also to the people that are downloading and listening on Spotify. We've got speakers here in this house, and I've plugged it up a couple of times. Just say, hey, play Troy Brewer, here I am. And then boom, it comes up. So it's pretty cool. It's awesome.
That's incredible. Rebecca's got some great ways of all the work. If you watched yesterday, you heard Emma's story. We got some great opportunities for you, all of you watching across all over the world, to jump in, help us rescue kids all over the world, raise them, as well as train nation. Rebecca's got some great things to tell you about.
Yeah, so yesterday we've been talking about Emma, the Oreo girl, and just to see her life transform has been honestly,
I am amazing.
I am speechless. Pastor Brian, before I give down the breakdown, you said something very interesting before we started of how we, why we do and how we do things. Can you share a little bit about what you said of sharing Emma's story, not only her story, but the multiple stories that we have been, that God has given the opportunity. You said something very,
It's awesome because we get to highlight, right?
We
get to highlight what's going on in just one part of the world. One of what, 53 different places and the impact that it has on one kid, but then all over the world. And so being able to highlight that is a big deal. We've got so many great things going on in Belize and different parts of the world. So it's a real opportunity for you guys that are tuning in to sow into the kingdom mandate, right? Jesus said to go, and this is part of what it means to go. And it's a privilege to be a part of that great commission.
Amen. So one way that you could do that, we are doing today, if you call in at 877-413-0888. Wow, right there. If you get $5,000 today, we are giving a lifetime membership ODX. And if you're on today for the first time and you don't know what ODX, I like to say it's like our own Netflix. You get all of, for a lifetime, every conference, every preaching, every worship, any appearance, Pastor Troy, ODX, Open Door, TBM, you will be able to tune in for the rest of your life. So if you give today $5,000 and you call us, that is what you will get. Also, if you give $1,000, we're giving 4 tickets to the New Beginning Conference and Stage 3 ODX for 1 year. Wow, that is honestly amazing. If you have not been to the New Beginning Conference, let me tell you, every year.
Great way to start your year.
It gets better and better and better. Also, if you give $300 today, you will get a book of our amazing pastor here, Pastor Schwartz, and one of Pastor Troy's book with
sign it.
2 tickets to the New Beginnings Conference. And also, if you get $50, because everything counts, you will get a book of Pastor Schwartz today that will be signed. So call us. You could go to odx.tv. You could click the giving button. You go to troybrewer.com, or you could mail us if that's something in your heart that you love to do. You can mail us at P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097.
How many letters do you guys have? I probably send 2 letters a year. I don't think I ever do mail.
You don't do mail?
No, rarely.
I went to the post office today, actually. One of my kids wanted to do a like the 23andMe. I know it's probably horrible and they're going to be tracked the rest of their life, but she wanted.
Other than that, they're fine.
Yeah, they'll be just totally fine.
Fatherhood.
The government's going to be watching her for a while, but that is the first time I've been in the post office in years.
Yeah.
And but there's a lot of Pastor Troy says that a lot of people do.
They mail in.
There's a lot of mail that comes through this yeah. place every week. It's amazing.
My mom still gets stamp rolls. Like when she goes to the grocery store, she's like, "Can I get stamps?" So yeah, there's definitely folks who do it, but everything's online. Well, speaking of getting back online, yesterday you got to hear the amazing story of Emma, and some of the you might be asking yourself, why would you do this huge quinceañera for one of your rescues? Well, one of the reasons is we want to model what fatherhood looks like.
Amen.
And what Jesus would have us do in serving not just Emma, but all of our rescues, what that looks like and what it really means to have a dad in your life. So today's show, we've got Pastor Jerry, Pastor Brian, and Rebecca. We want to talk about what fatherhood is. So kick that off. Since Brian, you're preaching tonight,
yeah.
why don't you go first? What is fatherhood to you?
Oh, man. Mm. Fatherhood in my life before I met Jesus was terrifying to think about. So I went from being terrified about being a dad because I knew I was already a bad husband. And so I was like, I can't imagine being a good dad. Well, then fast forward, get saved, get radically born again. My wife and I the same night. And 2 days after that occurred, we had our first baby. And so we got born again, had our first baby. I went from being terrified about being a father, feeling ill-equipped, I didn't have any clue, to going, I can't wait to be a dad. And then 7 kids later, obviously got over that fear and got reconciled to marriage.
Brother, you got committed.
I was very committed to the task at hand. But fatherhood to me is a privilege of, you know, I'm 53 now, years have gone by, raising our 7 children, 3 girls, 4 boys. My 3 girls are all married. Fatherhood to me now is about how do I represent the father well. I've tried to just simplify it.
Yeah,
I made it a lot more complex through the years, but it's like, what does it look like to model the Father of Lights to my own kids? And then not just them, but then through extension, everybody that we come into contact with.
That's so good. Pastor Jerry, what are your thoughts on?
You know, number one, I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning.
So good.
It's one thing to father toddlers, then teenagers. Now I'm fathering adults.
Yeah,
and it's different. My perspective is, I was adopted, so I never met my blood mom and dad. I know a little bit, but very little. So my adopted parents, my dad never went to church. I don't think he probably got born again until the end of his life. Started going to church then, but early on, my dad that raised me, what I learned from him was he was always there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was always there. I was very active in sports. He never missed one game from T-ball to high school. There's not
That's
one.
Amazing.
He never missed That's... one game. He was always there. And so that really reinforces on the biblical standard. He'll never leave us nor forsake us from our Heavenly Father. So that was you know, I didn't have a bad dad experience, man. I had a great dad. Even though he wasn't a believer, I had a great dad. He was never afraid to tell me he was proud of me. He was never afraid to tell me he loved me. And for someone that didn't go to church, had it down pretty good. So I had great upbringing. I made a lot of mistakes growing up. But like I said, I'm still learning. Still learning. And I'm going to talk a little about this weekend, though. I think it's the highest calling there is.
Yeah.
When God gave men the title fatherhood and father, I think it's the highest calling a man could have.
Wow.
Yeah, it definitely is. And if you have questions about fatherhood, chat, go ahead, drop it in there in the comment section. Make sure you put the little question mark ahead of your question. We'll answer as many questions as we get as we go through this. Now, Rebecca, what's fatherhood? I'm curious. I would like to get a wife, a mom. I'd love to hear your perspective on what fatherhood means to you. It's going to be a little bit different than the guys, if you will.
I do believe that fatherhood is a responsibility. It is someone that nurtures. I know that's a mom too. I just see it that way. I think I was very persuaded what Pastor Troy, Pastor Jerry said about encouraged to testify that I don't know my real dad, and my dad adopted me when I was 1. They got married and they were newly pastors at the age of 22, and I was one.
Wow. Mm.
So I've never said that out loud, so I really felt like I needed to say that. I am 35 now. I've never felt free to say that. So as you were saying that, I felt like the Lord's like, say that. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to be ashamed or at all, but when you said someone that's always there, my dad took me and my mom in and has always been there. I grew up in the church, PK. It was always family first. He was always there. It was us first. And then the church was right behind our house. He never missed a meal. He would always take us with him. When the Lord said, give someone your shoes, like Pastor Lanny, we gave our shoes away. When he said, give away the car, we would give away, but he always was there for us.
He was Christ-like.
No matter what. If we had to walk, we walked. If we didn't have, we would pray and God would supply. So when you said that, it took me back to a moment where I was at home and we didn't have food. And my dad's like, we believe and we have faith. And my mom was like, I married you. I didn't marry God. And we prayed. No, that's what my mom said. And I remember because when you said that, it reminded me. And I have not thought of that in years. And someone came and knocked at the door and said, the Lord told me to bring groceries to you guys and filled our pantry.
That's really cool.
With food. So I believe that fatherhood is someone that is responsible, that cares, that's loving. And that's what my dad was. I know that sounds more like a woman, it kind of parentheses, but that is a father too. And he nurtured us well, and he gave us milk. And then when it was time for steak, he gave, in the word too, spiritual and physically. So that's how I see it.
I didn't understand this, but just preparing for Sunday's message, I'm going to talk about the Hebrew word father, which is Abba.
Yeah.
And part of the definition of Abba is nurturer. And everybody leaves that up to mama, that she's a nurturer. Yeah. No, it actually begins with the dad, and the dad actually pours into the mom, the wife, as an example. And I didn't know that. So you're dead on.
Yeah, I always, I heard the quote, and I can't remember who exactly said it, but the quote was, you're not going to have, if you want to have good kids, you have to have a great marriage. And that speaks to what you just said. The relationship between a husband and wife is first. I remember when Jordan was young, he was our first baby. We adopted two girls prior to him, but he was our first. Yeah. It was my first go around, because to me, up to that point, I was just a fun uncle, like, you know, just make sure they don't die. And then because I did some things looking back. I'm like, man, I can't believe I took them to construction zone, like, and just like mudded and did all this crazy stuff. And both those girls are happily married and perfectly healthy. but I did learn a lot of funny stories along the way. But when Jordan was born, I mean, that was just I remember when he would do something we didn't like when he was little, I'd tell him, like, listen, don't talk to my wife that way.
Yeah.
I wanted to make it very clear. Like, listen, your mom matters more and she is the primary.
That's good.
I didn't always win at it. Just like, you know, Pastor Jerry said it too. Like, you know, still learning. I'd like to hear you guys. How do you guys model Christ and love, like, in a practical way? I get it. I think we all probably agree fundamentally, but like, what does that look like on, you know, a Sunday night or a Tuesday afternoon? What does modeling Christ look like?
I think we've all hit on it at some level. Mm-hmm. It's presence.
Yeah.
It's being present. When actually present. And I can look back on my life fathering, and the seasons when I was there physically, but maybe consumed with other things mentally and emotionally, and you're not really there. But just the modeling of Christ is the availability. Like my kids all know at any moment, I will interrupt any meeting, if they call, I'm answering. It's the availability piece. It's the presence piece. You mentioned about how your dad was at every game. I maybe early in my life didn't have the greatest relationship with my own father, but I can tell you this, he wasn't an athlete.
Yeah.
And so he would come to all my games and not really understand it at all. And so I never got critiqued by him. You know what I mean? Even though maybe we didn't have he was just a hard worker, head down farmer, dairy farmer. He modeled something that has been passed on to my kids and will be passed on to the grandkids. He modeled being present, not being critical.
Yeah.
And then also the ethic of just work. like he modeled something that was put on the ends, but it was through his presence. And even though he wasn't present at different times, when he was present, it was a big presence. Mm-hmm. And I think presence, Christ was, if you look even now at our relationship with him, he has become a faithful high priest who also can empathize with us because Amen. He went through what we went through. And so part of it is like going through things and modeling something to our kids that shows them you can go through the hardest situations and still be radical for Jesus and trust Jesus. And so it's presence, it's availability, and it's being able to go through things so you can empathize with what your kids are actually going through.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, how can we model a Christ-like presence as a father? I think of it like this, and I seem to be doing a lot of this now as I'm getting older. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So there was unity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unity always brings alignment. And a lot of times we as fathers can do some things that get out of alignment. Not meaning to. We're right. passionate. We see things differently than what our kids see.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And because sometimes our love for them is so strong, we want to correct the situation instead mm-hmm. of lead them into the right way. We mm-hmm. can get in some conversations that are a little bit more sideways than what they should be. So I see a lot of times now, even the day when I get into some of those things with my children, I have to come back and get back and I have to realign.
Mm-hmm.
And that's repentance and say, hey, I probably did not use the best verbiage or this like this. So a lot of times just letting them see the vulnerable side that I don't got it all figured out.
Yeah.
I really want the best for you. And I'm going to push towards that because I believe that even though you're out of my house, I'm still your father and I'm still leading.
Yeah.
And if mm-hmm. I see something in your life that I don't think is 100% your best, I'm going to try to still pull the best out. And maybe the avenue or the tool I used to pull it out wasn't the best one. So let me reevaluate, get back in alignment.
That's good.
So
I love that. I think, you know, pride is such an enemy for men as just a whole. And when you talk about how do you break pride, that's through humility and vulnerability. I've always taken the approach with my kids, like when I've sworn, you know, or I pray, you know, it's not a confessional, right? You know, but like when I've lost my temper, or, you know, or things didn't go right and I just like something happened, it was always like, all right, I need to make this right. I remember pulling, you know, one of my kids in my lap and was like, listen, I'm sorry I said that. That is not true. What I said was wrong. And I'm still figuring this out. And I think a lot of times when I look back at my dad, and I hope when my kids look at me, is the retrospective that they get that we were 20.
Yeah.
We were idiots. Not that if you're watching and you're 20, you're an idiot. But when you're 40 and 50, let us know.
Your prefrontal cortex wasn't even fully developed. Like physiologically, your ability to process wasn't even there.
Yeah, like I think women get a little bit easier because they're prepared. Like, you know, when they're a baby, they get a baby. The toys they get like a kitchen. You know, they get a vacuum cleaner, you know.
You are going down a slippery
slope. No, right. But like, you know, walk down the toy out. You get a baby doll.
It's true.
Do we have a counselor watching today?
You're being trained and equipped in a
to be a mom. Yeah. As dads are like, here's some Transformers and Ninja Turtles. And like, those things aren't real.
Yeah.
I'm being set up wrong.
That is true. I never thought of that.
But so that taking that moment with my kids along the way, it's been like, hey, you know, I'm learning some stuff. I'm going to do better. I'm going to make changes. And if I make a mistake, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to own it. And you're going to learn what forgiveness is.
Yeah.
Not, mm-hmm. not because I want to, but because I need to do this because I'm thinking about you long-term.
Yeah.
Keep the questions coming. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people sharing thoughts about their dads in the comments. And Rebecca, you got a couple questions for us.
Yeah, we do. We got one for Pastor Brian and one for Pastor Jerry. The first one is, Pastor Brian, as a single mom with a son, I like to listen to great men of God, how they lead their family. It's hard being a single mom, no godly male role model. How can I be a good role model for my son?
I mean, that's a great question, number one. Thank you for, you know, sharing and being vulnerable. That is, you've been given a mighty task, and praise God that you've said yes, which is to model, yes, Christ. I think the biggest thing you can do is truly lean into what does it look like to model Christ. You're already probably doing a great job as modeling as a mom who loves mm-hmm. Jesus. And then I would encourage you, there are different outlets for young men to get involved in. Athletics is one of those. I'll tell you this, some of the greatest influences in my life were male coaches that represented a different aspect of the father. So I think there's a way to, for you in your own home to model Christ, but then there's opportunities out probably in your community where you could figure out how to strategically get your kid, your son, especially involved in opportunities and events that there are strong male leaders in those, because they're picking that up. And there's nothing like the presence of a good male presence when it comes to young men. And I'll tell you, some of the most life-determining moments were walking through this with other men outside of my own father. So on one hand, it creates an absence, but on another hand, it gives the opportunity to be real strategic and expose your kids in the right way, you know, find the right male models, but to put your kids in environments where there are other males around that are leading, and they'll pick up on the stuff that you might feel like is absent.
Sports is a great place for that. Also a good, strong youth ministry.
Yeah.
You get good, strong male leaders in there. And that's one thing all the years I was a youth pastor and a lot of the teenagers come through, they didn't have dads.
Yeah.
I not only got to be a pastor, I could be a dad to some. And that was a big deal.
That's how Ryan is. I mean, our youth, 100%. Our male and our youth department, they nurture, they model the father.
100%. Yeah. I like that. Just before we go to the next question, I like the whole thing about the coach. And of course, it's one of your specialties and one of your probably callings is just coaching in all areas. I think a lot of times us dads, we struggle with the good coach, bad coach syndrome.
Yeah.
And as we were talking about, I just thought about there's sometimes, you know, I grew up playing sports and involved in the whole coaching scene and being coached. And there were coaches I loved, coaches I couldn't stand. Yes. There's coaches that I needed for a season of my life to get me off of my butt.
Yeah.
And, but I always think about the movie. There's two movies. Remember the Titans?
Yep.
Denzel Washington.
Yes.
And sometimes very direct, but sometimes very compassionate. We are Marshall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This walking in a really bad situation and his encouragement through the whole, it's unbelievable. And sometimes if dads could pick up on that, you're a lot of things, but you are a coach because at the end of the day, you want your family to win.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's mentoring, right?
Yeah. 100%.
I've moved from using the language of coaching, even what I do, to mentoring, because coaching is one thing. Mentoring is going, I've been through it and I'm going to do everything I can to pass what I've gone through and learn through that. Coaching can be that too.
Yeah.
It's both. It's kind of like you're a player coach.
Exactly.
You know? And so I just think anybody watching that's a single parent, if you're a mom or a dad, the absence of the one creates an opportunity for the father to do a lot of great things. And I told my own dad, I was like, the things that you weren't great at, you still get credit for because it allowed the Lord to do things in me that never would have been done.
That's a good word.
And it's a hard thing to grasp when you're going through it, but it's powerful because that absence creates the opportunity for the Lord to do things that never probably would have happened in our kids' lives.
Yeah, and I would tell single parents, don't isolate. Find your, maybe. We say it around here at church, like find your tribe.
Yeah.
You know, find that youth group, like Pastor Jerry said, find that coach, you know, whatever that looks like. But you're not alone, even if you are a single parent. That doesn't mean you're alone. And certainly you're never alone because the Holy Spirit's with you. And he'll give you wisdom and insight to your kids that no book, no blog, no YouTube video will ever give you that same insight. What was the other question, Rebecca?
The other question is, how do I break free from a lousy earthly father model to believe God, the Father, really loves me and actually wants to be with me? Wow. Anybody want to answer that?
How do you break free from a bad model? Well, I find the best model.
Yeah.
The Father. You know what I'm saying? And then also, I mean, I know a lot of individuals had really bad dads. You know, a lot of the men's ministry we deal with, men that had bad dads and just the trauma and damage it caused. You don't have to stay there. And even if your upbringing was not great and you didn't, you were not able to be taught a lot of things or show a lot of things, there are a lot of men that God can put around you that have done it right or have learned and adjusted. So always be a learner. Always be looking. ask questions, just like that question there. Find somebody you respect. There's a lot of men that come out to Redemption Ranch often, and they do because they get to hang out with me, and they're always asking and talking and stuff. So, you know, the whole coach slash mentorship, find somebody that you believe's a really good dad and let them mentor you. Take you by the side and walk and do life with you. You're not on an island. You're not on your own. There is hope and there are answers. And just watch Jesus and the Father's relationship in the Word.
Yeah, that's powerful. I think there's also this reality that the Father himself gave you as a gift. Mm-hmm. Like, you were not a problem, even though maybe your parents tried to create the illusion that you were a problem. It's first getting back to the reality that you are a gift from the Father, and who you got birthed through and raised with isn't the final say on defining who you are as a child. And I think for me, I'll just speak personally, I had to do a lot of work in that area, not because my dad was a bad dad. He did the best he could, but there were some essentials. Trauma is not just bad stuff that happens to you. Trauma is also good things that should have happened that didn't.
Yeah.
And so I had to come to grips with the things that should have been put in by a father, even though they got missed by sometimes my natural father. I had to lean into and step out in faith and go, okay, Father, here I am. I don't understand maybe who you are, but I'm available for you to do the work that you need to do in and through me. And it opened up this door to, yes, other earthly men that were incredible models, but honestly, it's allowed me to draw near and get close to the Father and receive from him what an earthly dad could have never given. And Jesus spoke about this in John 15. He said, I'm the vine. Mm-hmm. You're the branches. And when you realize you're a branch, I can't get certain things from another branch that I can only get from the vine.
Wow.
And I think that's a key too, is like, there's certain things that you were looking for from an earthly father that you never would have gotten anyway. Only he can give it to you. So go after those things.
So good. I have one question before we go. I really want maybe Pastor Schwartz. How do you deal with emotions of anger on both known and unknown and healthy way? I guess fatherly.
How do I deal with
emotions of anger?
Like as a father?
Yes.
Well, coming from hot German blood, I learned multi-generationally, I inherited anger. It's a great mm-hmm. question because anger was instinct for me. And it made me a really good middle linebacker too. So anger was an asset. And early part of my marriage, my wife would see that anger. It fortunately never manifested in physical abuse, but it manifested in doors being broken, cars being kicked, holes in walls. So I had to actually not just manage it, I had to get delivered. I didn't need a management program, an anger management program. Mm-hmm. I needed to first get to the root of why I was so angry. Mm. And for me, it was rejection, abandonment, abuse. Mm. I'd gone through trauma as a kid and resented my own parents because it happened on their watch, even though it wasn't them. And so you internalize it. This is years later being able to look at it. But when you're going through it, so I needed to come to a point. It was a point in my life where it was after we had our first child that my wife was like, okay, we gotta deal with this, mm-hmm. you know, because we can't introduce our kids to anger.
Yeah.
And so I got delivered, Jerry. I literally was, my wife was reading a book by Derek Prince, They Shall Expel Demons. And he talked about depression. That checked every mark. I was like, what does he say to do? We were baby Christians. And so she just laid a hand on me, read a prayer, and I got delivered of literally a demonic entity of depression. Wow. I grabbed the book. I go into my office, and one of the other things that I was under was anger. Mm-hmm. And I got delivered. I literally got delivered of a demonic spirit of anger and rage, which was really murder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus got to the root of it. He's like, you're angry, the outworking of that eventually leads to murder, whether physically or emotionally. So I got delivered of a spirit of murder. And again, I didn't have a coach there, a mentor there. It was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he delivered me. And then I was doing the hard work of filling in the void where that left. And I think that there's a key. So how? There might be some deliverance. There might be some inner healing. There's people all around in the kingdom that do those things wonderfully. But when you get delivered, it's important to fill that house back up with the fundamentals of love, joy, peace. I had to replace the anger with something.
Yeah. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I'm blessed. I mean, I was always growing up, I was always very competitive and all that. And being competitive, you're going to deal with those emotions. But I was always blessed when my my top blew. It was a second thing, and it was done. And so I didn't have prolonged amounts of anger. And even to this day, I'm still very passionate. There's things that happen. I can get very angry, but it's like, and it's done. I'm literally within a minute, it's gone. And so the biggest deal is that is just remember, you know, once you get the deliverance and once you work through it, the Holy Spirit, he's not done. He's emptied you of the issue, but you've got to fill it back up. Yep. And once again, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's self-control. It's love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, temperance. And so I think it's the biggest deal. And it's not one and done.
No,
that's right. It's ongoing.
It's not one and done. It's something that you're going to walk in probably the rest of your life. You're just going to get better at managing it.
Hmm. That's good.
That's good. I speaking into the how dealing with anger, because I think this is something all men deal with at some point in their life, but even more as a father. I actually was helping a father with his, he had some rage issues, horrible, horrible story. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit gave me two things that I later found out were really deliverance ministry, but originally wasn't my kind of lane at that moment. And it landed on, every man needs to do two things every day, and that is exercise and journal. Because men, we experience emotions just as much as women, sometimes more. We just don't know what to do with it, and it's going to come out somewhere. And there's something finite about taking it to pen and paper and saying, all right, today this happened. Yet now, all of a sudden, it's in a place, it's in a position that men can say, okay, it's done. It's no longer this emotional kind of question mark rolling around in our heads or our hearts. Boom, it happened. And you can deal with it in a very pragmatic way. The other thing, too, is like, I just believe that going to the gym, if you got anger and stuff like that, man, that is a great way to like just, what's it called? What's that happy feeling you get when you go to the gym? What's that? There's a really.
Euphoria.
It's not euphoria.
But I know what you're. They call it the runner's high for runners. I've never experienced a runner's high
because I'm not running. Built for distance.
But it is. It's like this. It's like adrenaline, dopamine hit. It's all that. It's
all the good. All the cycle. Good things that go on in your brain are released when you do it. Yeah. And I feel like we as men, we're built to carry. We're built to hold. And those are all good things. And you need to find places to let things go and process them. And I wouldn't take, I mean, I've heard from God. I mean, at the gym, my journaling, and those are two very practical. Yes, the spiritual deliverance side of it is very, very real and needs to happen.
You're talking about pressure.
Yeah.
Right. It's most anger is birthed out of a sense of helplessness and not being in control.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a pressure release. It's like I do various things to release and deal with pressure. Pressure is a reality of our daily life. And most of the anger, when I look back on my life, it was pressure to perform. It was pressure to succeed. It was pressure to prevail. It was pressure to have to defend myself, pressure to have to overcome, pressure to have to be resilient. Like all those things, pressure. And if you don't have a release, ultimately, it's not trying to over-spiritualize it, but I have learned, 1 Peter 5, man, Peter says, cast your cares. A cares word has a lot in it. Cast your cares on him because he actually cares for you. That was tough for me to believe that the Father, I knew he loved me, but
caring is a different thing.
Caring, me being vulnerable, all that just seemed really weird and foreign to me. Yeah. But I've gotten better at going, Holy Spirit, would you just comfort me right now? Amen. I just need comfort. I don't need deliverance. Would you just come with your presence and bring comfort?
That's so good. I want to take a moment. We're going to go behind the veil in just a few minutes. We want to encourage you guys, if you're watching, hey, help us join. I know we're talking about fatherhood, but the importance for fatherhood for us is how we model it to the kids that we rescue, the rescue homes that we that we run and train nations. And that is because of you helping us. So we encourage you to go to troybrewer.com or odx.tv. You can also call the number on your screen, 877-413-0888. Also, you can go, you can mail. We had a long conversation about stamps because that's just what we are. P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. Before we go behind the veil, I want to ask you guys who your favorite child is. No, I'm kidding.
Depends on certain that's days, certain months, and certain seasons.
I'm totally kidding. Favorite fatherhood moment?
Oh, gosh.
I know, it's a... What was your favorite? So, you're as a mom, I'll pick on Rebecca and let you guys chew on it. Favorite moment of fatherhood that you saw Josh with your two boys
was, I believe, when we had Liam, our first one, and I had to have surgery, and I didn't. My mom was there. I think it's for our culture. The mom comes in. I'm not saying it's just Hispanic, but the mom comes in, grabs the baby, and like you're supposed to rest. And my mom, come in, she just takes over.
Yeah.
Or his mom.
Right.
Well, he said no. He's like, I'm gonna take Liam. Aww. And I was like, wow. Like as a newborn, I was like, oh, we don't even know what we're doing. Like this is all new. He took out Liam and let me sleep on. Well, he was our firstborn, so that for me was like, okay. I already knew from the moment he was going to be a great father, but him taking him and feeding him for the first feed, because I couldn't.
Yeah.
That surgery, that was, and ever since then, he's always taking care of the boys.
That's amazing.
So.
My favorite moments were with all seven of the kids after they were born. What were those one-on-one moments with when they're new?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Laying on my chest. And I'm not being odd, but like, no, I love it.
Yeah.
Just like right skin. Yeah.
It's important.
Skin to skin. Yeah. Skin to skin.
And just them crashing on you. It's like the purest picture.
It is awesome.
Of just going, shalom. Everything's right with the world. And you're not doing anything. They're not, you're just resting.
Yeah.
It's that picture of just rest. And my wife did such a great job with the kids when there was a season I was traveling a bunch when the kids were younger. And she told me on my trips that one of my sons would always go grab one of my t-shirts when I was away, and he would wear it when he would sleep at night because it smelled like me.
No.
You know, it's that same type of, it breaks me down, but it's that thing. It's that closeness. Yeah. It's true intimacy outside of performance, outside of anything. And you don't really get that back.
No.
But that's my favorite moment as a dad with each of my kids.
I had the same moment. It was profound for me. Like, I've always thought God loved me, but kind of like you said, like God caring about me, like that was, I grew up in a traditional Pentecostal, you know, legalistic church. So we knew God loved us, but he did not care about us.
Yeah.
And I remember like when I held my son, I was just like, oh yeah, I don't just love this kid unconditionally. I care about him. And I don't care about him just as a baby, but I care about him when he's 30, when he's 40 years old. So Jerry, what was your kind of fatherhood moment?
Well, Brian kind of stole mine. I actually have pictures of all my kids sleeping on my chest. And I have pictures of all my grandchildren sleeping on my chest.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
I've got 9 grandchildren, so there's a lot of pictures.
Gosh. Wow. That is so cool.
So that was a big deal. That was a big deal. But I think, too, just looking back of just all the life we've lived, when I get that phone call, they want advice, especially when they're adults now.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And also, you know, each one's got their own journey and each one's relationship with the Lord's a little bit different, but their pursuit of church and the Lord and all this has always been, if I do this, it makes my dad proud. If it gets them to the end game, I don't care how it gets them there.
Yeah.
But that's always been a big deal, and they know it's important to me.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
It's crazy. My fatherhood moment that kind of took everything full circle. My dad came to visit. and baseball has always been my jam. Sports has always been my jam. And I had an office, and he signed a baseball, and he just wrote on there, is like, I'm proud of you. Mm. And this is right after everyone's living at home. I remember I wept in my office when I read that. And it wasn't that my dad didn't, that I didn't know that my dad was proud of me or didn't love me, but it meant so much.
Yeah.
So that was a big fatherhood. And because I had just become a new dad, and it was like a, wow, he's still proud of me, even though I'm married and got kids now. It was a big deal. Dads are a big deal, and we're going to celebrate them Sunday. Okay. Pastor Jerry's got a great message about fatherhood. So hope that you guys are here. Camo pants and cowboy boots.
What are you going to dress up? What are you going to?
I'm coming as me. Like,
what about you, Pastor Jerry? What are you doing?
I'm wearing a camo jacket and my cowboy boots.
Okay. Yeah. So I like that.
Don't let the title confuse you, because I'm not really preaching on any of that. That's actually a line out of a song by Rodney Atkins and I'll use this in the beginning of the message. It's a song, it's called I'm Watching You. And the chorus is, hey, Dad, I'm your buckaroo. I'm watching you. I got my cowboy boots.
Camo pants.
And camo pants and stuff like that. And
that's cool.
I remember
that's
one of the days it came on, my youngest son, Chase, was with me in the car, and he goes, yeah, Dad, I'm your buckaroo. So I've always loved the song. So if I ever get to speak on Father's Day, I'm going to name it that.
Regardless,
anything with message or not. That's
a pretty cool graphic, though. They really did an amazing job.
They did a good job.
Yep. And we have a gift for all fathers on Sunday.
Oh, that's nice. And then tonight, our gift is Pastor Brian Schwartz.
Yes.
He's going to be here.
Yeah, man.
So.
We're going to talk about a worthy opponent.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, pick up where Pastor Jerry left off on the adversary. And we're going to talk about the father.
It's a great series. I honestly am looking forward to it because it. I've already seen your notes, so I don't want to spoil, but I love the of kind of walking through why they're so important. And because sometimes he's like, why am I going through this? Why am I battling this?
Yeah.
God's got a purpose for it.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Speaking of purpose, we're going to go purposely behind the veil here in just a few moments. So I want to say goodbye to everybody. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, not on ODX, but on Rumble, all the different platforms. We're going to go behind the veil, so you still have time to sign up for stage 2 or 3. Just go to odx.tv, and that is all for us today. Episode 48 is wrapped. Mm-hmm. We'll see you guys next time.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.